Good morning. I'm Marshall Terry. It's Morning Edition on 90.7 WFAE. The race for U.S. Senate in North Carolina has gotten a lot of the attention this election, but when you go to vote, you'll be asked about a proposed change to the state constitution. The amendment would allow a criminal defendant to have his right to a trial by jury be waived per a judge's approval as long as the state is not seeking the death penalty. We reached out to Jeff Welty, who teaches public law and government at UNC Chapel Hill, to find out more. I thought I already could waive my right to a jury trial in North Carolina.
You can't, not in a felony case anyway. If you're charged with a misdemeanor or a traffic infraction, you're likely to have a district court judge adjudicate that without a jury. But if you're charged with a felony and your case is going to be in superior court, unlike all 49 other states, in North Carolina, it's a jury trial or nothing.
Why would somebody want to do this, waive his right to a trial by jury?
The main reason that defendants might want to do that is because some defendants are either have extensive criminal records or they're charged with particularly odious crimes, sex offenses, for example, and they feel like a jury might react so negatively to them that they won't get a fair shake and they might get a better outcome in front of a judge who's more used to dealing with that kind of accusation.
So it sounds to me like you're suggesting that maybe there's an advantage to having just a judge decide the case as opposed to 12 people.
There is, potentially, for some defendants. And there's also a potential systemic advantage, which is a bench trial doesn't involve selecting a jury. It doesn't involve some of the complicated issues about whether a jury can hear a particular piece of evidence or not. And so bench trials can be quicker and more efficient and potentially less expensive than jury trials. So there's reasons both for defendants and for prosecutors, the judges, and the court system as a whole potentially to favor the ability to waive the right to a jury trial. Of course, there's potential downsides for both sides of it as well.
And what would that be?
Well, there's a couple. A potential downside for prosecutors really is the flip side of the coin that we just mentioned, which is that in some circumstances, the defendant may have a better chance at a good outcome in front of a judge alone. And in fact, if you look at data from the federal system, defendants are acquitted about three times as often before judges as they are before juries. So from a prosecutor's point of view, maybe that's not so great, especially if the prosecutor is worried about a defendant who's represented by a well-connected, influential local lawyer who might have significant influence with a particular judge. From the defendant's side, one of the potential downsides is that once it becomes possible to waive your right to a jury trial, you might be pressured to waive your right to a jury trial. So a prosecutor might say, listen, if you want to have a jury trial, it's going to take us a few months to get to that. But if you're willing to do a bench trial before a judge alone, we can squeeze that in this week. Well, there's nothing improper about that, but it does create an incentive for the defendant to choose a bench trial, even if what they really would prefer is a jury trial.
If I committed a felony and had my right to a trial by jury waived, could I then shop for a judge?
Well, both sides have some ability to influence which judge hears the case. Prosecutors have control of the dockets in North Carolina, and so they have tremendous influence over which judge is going to hear a particular case. But defendants have maneuvers that they can employ as well. So, for example, if a case is scheduled before an unfavorable judge, the defendant or the defense lawyer might move to continue, find a reason that they need more time. And then when that judge has rotated out of the district and somewhere else and a different judge has rotated in, they might say, okay, well, now we're ready to go forward. So both sides can spend some time maneuvering which judge they get, and they're going to have much more of an incentive to engage in those maneuvers when the judge makes the ultimate determination of guilt or innocence.
As you said earlier, this is the norm pretty much everywhere else in this country. We're the only state that doesn't allow this right now. Do you have any idea how common it's actually practiced in other states? How many times a defendant actually asks for this to happen?
Yes, we have some historical data from the National Center on State Courts and some data from the federal criminal justice system, and it varies by jurisdiction, but I would say that it's a minority of defendants charged with serious crimes that choose to have bench trials, maybe varying between 5 and 40%, with a clustering around 15%.
Well, we first heard about this referendum by looking at a sample ballot for the election. We had not heard about it. Are you aware of any campaign to spread the word about the referendum that we just missed? I mean,
Are people going to know what they're voting on?
No, I don't think so. I call this the stealth constitutional amendment because even within the legal community, it's almost totally unknown. It passed the General Assembly overwhelmingly. It's going to be on the ballot, but none of the usual interest groups have taken a position for it or against it, and so there's very little publicity about it.
Jeff Welty, professor of public law and government at UNC Chapel Hill, thank you.
Thank you.